Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Topical Tuesday, October 10th, 10-10-2017. Topical Tuesday, 10-10. Oh, my goodness, I couldn't have written it better myself. Steve Cypress here. Rhino of the day is this beautiful picture of a rhino. I'm not actually holding a two-ton rhino in my hands. I'm holding a picture of a rhino, and this picture is suitable for framing. See what I did there? Because today we're discussing framing, specifically pre-framing. And we don't mean framing a picture. And I don't mean framing, I don't know, building a frame for a house or any of that. Pre-framing, it's a term that marketers use, persuaders use, people that are into behavioral psychology and how the mind works, how one frames an argument, or frames a discussion, or frames a subject, means putting context to the subject. So pre-framing means putting context to the subject before the person is going to view it, or read about it, or experience it. So it's a pre-frame. So for instance, this is what's done in entertainment all the time. Somebody will say, come on, and say now, say you're in a at a concert, or there's a comedian. Somebody will be the warm-up act or the MC. Someone will be announcing the main act, and we'll build them up and say, "Man, you're about to experience. These are the greatest. And they've played here, and they've done this, and they've been on this show, and they've been here. And he's the greatest comedian. You're gonna laugh. He's so funny. He's incredible. He's one of my personal favorites." You're going to love him. His act is really great. Pay attention. Boom. They are pre-framing, which makes it much more powerful when that comedian comes on stage and he's been pre-framed properly, so the audience is more likely to receive him in the way he's been pre-framed. So you want to do that in everything. It's how you pre-frame an argument, you pre-frame a discussion, you pre-frame any topic. It's a very important point for entrepreneurs. Sharp entrepreneurs do this in our market, and we use our marketing to pre-frame. So for instance, when you're doing some advertising, very often you're advertising to a complete strangers, even if they're your ideal target client in terms of the description and the characteristics and how they feel and what they're going through and who they are and where they are and all that kind of good stuff. Go to thewowstrategy.com if you want more information on how to pick your ideal target client, your ideal who, as I call it in the WOW strategy. Like, you got all those different factors. Well, they're now coming. They're cold. They're strangers. They're coming to your, let's say, to your website. And they're likely to, okay, looks good, whatever, and they leave. But what if you first sent them somewhere to be pre-framed before they went to your website? So they went to maybe just the home page of your website has a really powerful testimonial or case study from somebody famous, somebody influential, who's going to say, "Man, you know me from XYZ TV show or best-selling author or whatever. You know me, and I got to tell you about this guy, Steve Cypress. He is the greatest. He can do XYZ. He's going to help you do ABC. When you watch this video, you're going to experience this, that, and the other." He's pre-framing my message for me, so that now when somebody clicks and goes to my message, they've been pre-framed to accept it a lot more than if they hadn't had that pre-framing, than if it wasn't pre-put into a set frame of this is what you're going to see. That's pre-framing. And the topical Tuesday part of it is the example we're seeing right before our eyes of this current Donald Trump versus the NFL part two. Oh, Jerdog is here. There you go. I was speaking about comedians, and Jerdog happened to show up, maybe through the osmosis of the netherworld of the internet. He heard me talking about comedians. So Jerdog, a professional comedian, and how he knows from experience, he can tell you that how he is introduced before he goes out to do his set on stage means a world of difference of how that audience is going to receive him. Okay, if he goes on stage and he's just driving down the road and he sees an open mic night, he says, let me just stop in and test some jokes out in the audience and see what's going on. And so the MC or the host or the owner of the club doesn't know him at all and just says, hey, I don't know this guy, but he's going to tell some jokes. Like, ouch, thanks a lot, dude. Like, good luck. Now it's all on Jeremy, and Jeremy's up to the task, to tell some incredibly funny jokes, very quickly get them on his side, like, but he's got to do all the heavy lifting. What if instead he's going on in his regular club where he packs a place and they all love him and therefore the owner loves him because of all the money he makes, and that owner goes and he's seen him 100 times and he says, man, now here he is, the one, the only, you've been waiting for this moment, you've heard about him, maybe you've seen him before, hey, how many people have seen him before, and get the raise of the hands and all these hands go up, how many people love him and are back because they love him, and you've waited through all the other comedians tonight just to see Jared Dugan, and all the hands and the whoops and the hollers. Now, total Joe Stranger standing in this crowd who's never heard of Jared Dugan, never seen him, is pre-framed, predisposed to love him. All this audience loves him, the host loves him, they've seen him before, they say he's funny, man, now I just can't wait. And now almost no matter what Jared Dugan comes out and says, this total stranger is going to laugh. The guy next to him's laughing because they're going to laugh because they love him and he's funny. And even if he's just mildly funny tonight or having an off night, they're going to love him. They're going to laugh and everyone's going to laugh. That's the power of the pre-frame. So let's go back to the example here, the topical Tuesday, nothing personal, Jared Dog, but I'm going to talk about a slightly more famous, infamous, depending how you look at him, person, Mr. Donald Trump, President the Donald to you. And so he has done this he's in this pre-framing battle with Trump versus NFL 2. And the reason I say it's part two is some of you, hey, thanks for the likes. And Jerdug has said something I should have been paying attention. Jerdug says it's called the accomplishment intro. Love it. See, it's even got a name in the comic or entertainment world. And also a good place to have the host give a USP, which is stands for unique selling proposition. Called the accomplishment intro. You know, I've given them a lot. I've gotten them a lot. And I never knew it had an official name. That's fantastic. I just know in marketing circles it's known as pre-framing. So that means you color the conversation. You tell people what they're going to hear and why it's so great and what's going to be happening. You pre-frame the discussion before the discussion takes place, and therefore you're incredibly likely to win. It's going to be very difficult for any human being, me, you, Jerdog, anyone, to change our mind. We don't like changing our minds, so our mind's set up, very tough to change. So from this accomplishment intro or pre-frame or whatever you call it, when done right, and somebody now is in the frame of mind that that's what it's all about, it's going to be very difficult to change your mind. So here's the example, Trump Part 2. So Trump Part 1 was the lawsuit USFL versus the NFL, with Trump being the main protagonist in the lawsuit, against the NFL, because he owned one of the teams in the USFL that sued the NFL and famously won, but the judgment was $1. God's perfect drink, some water. And so... and now it was an antitrust suit, so the damages were trebled. Three times treble damages. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. We got the handy 848 calculator that I sold thousands of door-to-door. My 9-year door-to-door sales career, this is over 20 years old, and it still works perfectly. Runs on solar, never needs a battery. Let's see. $1 times 3 equals... Can you see that? I don't know if you can see that. $3. All right, enough jokes. Doesn't mean you don't have to see it. So Trump won. However, the NFL laughed all the way to the bank, as they say, to withdraw their $3 and hand it to him and go, you know, don't spend it all in one place, big guy. So Trump, who is known to let things slide off and not hold grudges and forget people who did him wrong, not Trump, who carries anger with him longer than the oldest elephant ever and remembers every slight ever and punches back harder than anyone ever and never lets anything go, has likely been waiting in the weeds for 30 years for how he can get back at the NFL for handing him only $3 and the dissolution of his team and his league in the wake of that winning the lawsuit. So here he is, and he picks his battle with the NFL. Now, the players attempted to pre-frame their disrespect of the national anthem as, we're not disrespecting the national anthem. We're disrespecting the national anthem, but we're doing it because of. See, they're pre-framing. So when you watch them disrespect the national anthem, you their attempt is to pre-frame it to, don't see that we're, well, of course you'll see we're disrespecting the national anthem, that's what we're doing, but see it as, but we're doing it for a just cause. So you'll overlook the fact that we're disrespecting the anthem because we really care about racial injustice and police brutality and all this kind, which are incredibly, can you think of better causes? Like, can you think, I mean, there's, you know, they're the causes. There's, you know, unborn babies and disease and whatever. But come on now. These are incredible, universally awesome causes to all but the most despicable human beings would think somehow that racial injustice or police brutality or somehow should be allowed and should be good and encouraged. Like, these are great causes. So pre-framing. So Colin Kaepernick, now, even though, you know, obviously forever will be much more famous for kneeling for the national anthem and starting this movement than he ever will be for the crappy quarterback that he was. So he started this by in a pre-game, preseason game, a meaningless preseason game where, you know, he got benched because he sucks as a quarterback, and he got benched. And being benched on a team that went out to win like one game that year, that's pretty bad. So he got benched, and he said, oh, yeah, I'm no longer the starting quarterback. Well, the heck, then I'm not even going to stand with the rest of the team here at the beginning of the game. I'm going to sit back on the bench. No one noticed. But someone noticed. And someone said, hey, he's, you know, look at that. He's pouting away from the team, like, you know, not a team player, and, you know, get over it, guy, and go stand with the rest of the team. And then as the word has it, his girlfriend or somebody close to him said, like, hey, dude, like, let's do something with this. Let's not just pout on the bench like a loser because you lost your job to be the backup quarterback on the worst team in the league. Like, that's really bad. Let's use that. Somebody noticed and said, hey, look, he's I wonder why he's sitting on the bench. Let's not tell him that it's because you're a two-year-old and you sat on the bench pouting that you lost your position on the team, where happens all the time as football. I mean, I've never seen anybody else pout on the bench during the playing the national anthem just because they lost their starting job. So let's say, and of course, again, it's universally great to say, hey, you were protesting. Let's do that. You were sitting down during the national anthem because you were protesting Ferguson just happened recently and all this police brutality and injustice and racial inequality and yeah, that's it, do it. So in week two, that's what he did, and now the cameras came on him and said, like, look, there he is sitting, and no longer was he pouting, now he was protesting. Much smarter. So he's pre-framing how you're going to view his pouting now. You're going to view it as he's protesting, which is noble. Pouting, two-year-old, protesting, noble. Great pre-framing by Colin Kaepernick. Then other players joined in, and Kaepernick kept doing it. And now, oh, some, you know, as the story goes, some veteran came up to him and said, oh, more respectful if you kneel than if you sit on the bench, whatever, which I couldn't disagree more, first of all, because in football, kneeling, especially for a quarterback, is a clear signal. In the world of football, kneeling means you give up. It's how you say, I give up, I don't want to get tackled, please don't hurt me, I'll just kneel. And therefore the whistle blows and the play is over. So kneel is a submissive, I give up. It's not a noble stance for a cause. Like, if you want to, you know, protest your cause of racial injustice and inequality and police brutality, kneeling, not the way to do it. What are you doing? Like, no, it's Tommy Carlos, I forget his name, in the 1968 Mexico City Olympics, right? Standing on the podium with his gold or silver medal, one of those two, and they both stood up there and they raised their fist in the air with a black glove on it. Like, black power back in the 60s, a big thing. And, like, man, they stood tall, raised fist. They didn't kneel down submissively. Like, I digress. So, anyway, he started the whole kneeling thing. I give up. I'm submissive. I'm weak. I kneel. So already it's done poorly. It's made up protests to cover the fact that he was just pouting. Now he's submissively kneeling instead of taking a powerful stand for what he believes in. So he's screwing it up again. But for about a year, the players had it their way. Thanks to the NFL bumbling this whole situation and not putting the kibosh on it immediately and saying, get your ass up and stand for the national anthem like everyone in the stands, everyone, the player who's ever played, like, you know, cut the crap and let's not let this get out of hand. No, they let it get out of hand. They let him keep doing it. And the complaints were few and far between. I was, I'm sure, one of lots of people complaining about it right away, like, stand up. Like, nobody likes racial inequality. Nobody likes police brutality. Give me a break. But also, nobody should ever condone disrespecting your old country and your national anthem and your teammates and the fans and your flag and the people of your country. Like, you're getting paid $20 million a year, dude. Stand up. Like, and be thankful for that. And then find some other way to protest, dude. But the pre-framing was viciously severe. Like, even to the point where players, now they're kids. I've said this before. They're young kids, and they're, you know, any football players going through school, not the sharpest tacks in the shed. So we overlook the fact they're not that bright here, and they keep saying, we're not disrespecting the national anthem. We're protesting against whatever we're protesting, right? But you clearly are protesting the national. That's the whole point. You wouldn't get nearly as much attention if you waited till Monday and your day off and held a march, or if you wrote a check, or if you went to visit some underprivileged people that are victims of police brutality and you helped them out. Or say, you wouldn't get any attention. You get plenty of attention if, while the cameras are rolling and everyone's watching and all eyes are glued to the players, and you happen to be taking a knee, protesting the national anthem. But the pre-frame by the players was, you'll watch us protest racial inequality. We're not disrespectful of the flag. We're not protesting. We're very patriotic. We're not total BS, but that's pre-framing. Okay, so this went on for over a year until Donald Trump said, all right, you want to see pre-framing? You want to see someone who knows marketing, who knows pre-framing? Like, pre-framing, Donald Trump. I mean, has there ever been a better pre-framer? Maybe, you know, P.T. Barnum. But, like, this guy, everything to this guy is going to be the greatest, most incredible, hugest, biggest, best, whatever. If you watch, you can probably see tapes of it all over the internet or whatever, of the old Donald Trump Apprentice show. Like, every week, whatever product was being promoted, and let me introduce you to the CEO of this company. I got to tell you, this is a great guy, incredible product, the best of whatever. Pre-framing. I mean, just so much that you probably a lot of people don't even listen to him anymore, of like his pre-framing. Like, yeah, I know, Donald. Everything is huge. Everything is the greatest. It's even a joke. Oh, it's going to be huge. Like, everything is going to be huge. It's going to be the greatest. It's going to be incredible. That's called pre-framing. And then brings out the sappy, dippy, boring CEO with his run-of-the-mill product. Everyone on The Apprentice show and watching on TV has already been pre-framed to believe, hey, this guy's great and the thing is great and he's a genius of whatever he does. And, like, you know, that's called pre-framing. Trump is great at it, incredible at it, right? So he decides to take on the NFL and reframe, a little twist on the word, he's going to reframe the pre-frame that the NFL players set up and that the NFL team owners and executives negligently allowed to continue when they should have shut that thing off immediately, but they let it continue. Oh, it's just one guy. Oh, it's just a few guys. Look, I personally don't care, and neither did lots of people give a crap whether it's one guy or three guys. That's outrageous. Get rid of them. And Trump came out and just said that. He said, wouldn't you love to see these guys? You're fired. Like, yes, Patriots would love that. So he reframed, yeah, I know they're kneeling and disrespecting the national anthem because of racial inequality, but they're disrespecting the national anthem, and that's inexcusable no matter what you are protesting, which it is, no matter what you're protesting. Dude, you know, I've been searching. Maybe anyone here, Phil Brakefield's here, maybe anyone here or anyone watching can help me out, put it in the comments, because I've been scouring the internet. I've been searching and Googling all day long. I'm trying to find that photo of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. kneeling during the playing of the national anthem or sitting when the flag is being run. I'm trying to find that. Like, I can't seem to find. I find plenty of photos where he is marching along and he's got people on the 5-mile march behind him carrying the American flag behind him. Walking with, if you've ever walked for a flag for any length of time, like, that's not easy to do, to carry that thing for miles. Many flags. I saw him speaking in front of flags. many of his speeches, all with flags in the background. And testing racial inequality and police brutality, you know, and being a subject of police brutality, getting hoses turned on him and the people, and thrown in jail for wanting peace. I mean, if anyone could be protesting all this and kneeling during the national anthem and all that BS, it would be the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but of course not, because that's not how you do it. Thank you for the likes, who's ever doing likes, because you don't, like, you don't cut off your nose to spite your face. You don't do something totally stupid and outrageous and completely unacceptable in order to, because it's for a just cause. That's outrageous. So let's make an analogy. Let's say that I here in my neighborhood, I'm really upset about some things going on in my town. There's some injustices going on, and there's lots of inequality going on, and lots of racial inequality, whatever. There's real injustices going on. So what I'm going to do is next time I just see a stranger walking down the street in this town where there's plenty of injustice, I'm going to fart right in his face. And if he's walking his dog, I'm going to kick his dog. Well, no, I'm not going to kick his dog. I'm going to curse out his dog. And maybe I'm going to pee on his lawn if he's in front of his house. I mean, but I'm not disrespecting him. Oh, no, he's taking it all the wrong way if he thinks I'm disrespecting him. I'm simply protesting the general inequality. I can't even say it with a straight face. How stupid a concept that is to try and get across. That's a weak, crappy preframe that Trump easily trounced. Like, that is a weak, stupid, wrong preframe. I mean, who could even believe such a thing that I didn't disrespect that guy just because I pissed on his flower bed and I flipped him the bird and I cursed him out. I mean, I didn't disrespect him, you see, because in my mind, I had preframed this. So I told people, I said, watch what I'm going to do. Next Sunday afternoon at the stroke of 1 p.m., I'm going to flip the bird to a neighbor, curse him out, pee all over his flower bed, because there's general injustice in the world. Yeah, and for some reason people bought that, still do to this day. Oh, they're not disrespecting the flag, they're protesting. No, they're doing both. They're disrespecting the flag and they're protesting racial inequality. Here's the thing. You could do one without doing the other. Like, inexcusable to be disrespecting the flag. It's inexcusable for me to go to a neighbor and flip him the bird and curse him out and pee on his flowers and curse out his dog. Like, I'm going to stop short of physically. I'm not going to spit in his face. I'm not going to kick him. Okay, that's battery. I'm not actually going to do all the touching, or I'm not going to threaten him. That would be assault. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. I'm just going to disrespect him incredibly. Like, but I'm not disrespecting him, you see. I'm just protesting. BS. Total BS. So Trump calls him on that and goes, that's BS. And yet, still, the team owners get involved, the team player, they come down on the field and they disrespect everyone along with their players, and they lock arms instead of putting a hand over their heart, and they just carry it like further and further, because now it's the players against Trump. And you see, there's hundreds of us, and we got our Twitter accounts, and we got our social media follower, and we're the players, and people love us, and people do. And I don't know if it's 90% of NFL fans are still hanging with them. Like, but I'm one of the 10%, or I don't care if it's 1%, who has canceled the DirecTV NFL package. I have rounded up all my New York Jets stuff, which has taken a while. I didn't realize it. You know, every day I was seeing something else somewhere. All the clothing, all the souvenirs, all the everything, the flags, the banners, the shirts, the hats, the whatever. And it's all in a box going away. Those were the days. I used to be an NFL fan. Like, they lost me forever. I don't care if you make these guys begrudgingly stand up and put their hand over the heart. I know they don't want to do it. I know they want to disrespect their flag and their national anthem and their country. They put their hands on their face, like you see on TV. They look down. They're angry. They lock their arms. And some players, when they lock their arms, put their arm over it. But then others just lock their arms because, oh, I'm so embarrassed and ashamed of the country that I want to. Then you know what? There's plenty of other countries on earth, aren't there? There's like hundreds of other countries. Like, if you're so ashamed, like, and I'm sure they all have professional football leagues that pay you multiple millions of dollars. I'm sure they have that. And I'm also sure that you can kneel during the national anthem in all those other countries. Like, try and do that in Cuba. like Mr. Kaepernick, hypocrite of the century, like wearing a Che Guevara or a Castro shirt. Like, go to Cuba and go disrespect Castro. Kneel down in front of him and his flag, and let's see how far that gets you. Nice knowing you. So as long as you disrespect the country that allows you to, and you're allowed to do it. I'm not saying they're not allowed to do it. I'm just saying I'm also allowed to never again be a fan of the NFL, watch a game, or have anything to do with it, or certainly not spend a penny on anything to do with the NFL. And so are lots of other people. And so they let it all get out of hand, and they lost it. So it was a pre-frame battle. The players are pre-framing their disrespect to the national anthem as it's not that. It's a protest. Trump comes in and goes, yeah, no. It's, sure, it's a protest, but it's also disrespecting the national anthem. And you see the players are miserable because they've been beat. Players, the owners have been beat now by Trump because they're not going to out pre-frame Trump. So you see it now. You see now Jerry Jones, Dallas Cowboys, comes out and goes, if you sit for the national anthem or disrespect it or whatever, you're not going to play. If you ask me, you would have like several teams in the NFL of all respectful players that have some self-respect that are going to stand at attention and salute the flag during the national anthem. Wow, that's so much to ask. And then there'll be a bunch of other renegade teams full of all the sitters and the whatever, and like, why not have the team split up the way? Because if I owned the team, I would instantly be trading away anyone who had such little self-respect that they wouldn't even stand for the national anthem. How ridiculous. Like, go away. Like, there's plenty of other ways to protest instead of disrespecting the national anthem. You can do it. You just can't do it here. Like, of course, I'm not arguing at all. They don't have the right to do it, and I'm not arguing at all that they aren't right to be protesting racial injustice and police brutality and all that crap that, of course, other than maybe there's some slim number of wackos, I'm sure there is in our country, that are in favor of police brutality. There's people, wackos, in favor of everything. Like, that's a pretty universal cause. However, you don't do it by flipping your neighbor the bird or peeing on his flowers or disrespecting the flag or all kinds of other things that are absolutely unacceptable. I don't care what the reason is. So that's the pre-frame battle. Trump, I think, is winning because you can see the team owners are starting to say, you got to stand. And the league, I think, is going to come out with a rule and say you got to stand, but it's too late for me. I don't know if it's too late for other people. I do know people that, and now people have been messaging me and contacting me. Oh, I burned my season tickets. Burn your season tickets. Like, that's a lot of money. Not so sure you're going to be buying them again next year. I don't know. Wish ill will on anybody. Say that three times fast. Especially not in any business. So I hope they recover and hope they get their act together and I hope they go back and make billions of dollars and get cities to bend over backwards and give them all the tax breaks so they can build their stadiums and do all that kind of stuff, and they can have the rich billionaires club and own the NFL teams, and the players can play a game a few times a year and make millions of dollars and then choose whatever shoe they want to wear and make more money for wearing a shoe and wearing a hat and wearing a shirt. It's all good. Capitalist, keep doing it, but you lost me forever. Now, it's good timing, because the baseball playoffs happened beyond. Today's game rained out, but I got something exciting to watch while I'm going through my withdrawal in my early stages of, I have pulled away from an over 50-year devotion on fall Sundays and Mondays and Saturdays and Thursdays and whatever days they're playing, it's all hilarious, to the NFL and my formerly beloved New York Jets. But I digress. That's pre-framing. So in your business, you want to get really good at doing the same thing. Use, like Jerdog said, that accomplishment intro. Have an accomplishment intro webpage. Have an accomplishment intro flyers, advertisements. This is why you include testimonials, case studies, glowing pictures of happy clients in your advertising and your marketing. Because that's pre-framing before they ever speak to you or talk to you or set an appointment with you or buy from you or send you an email or whatever they do. They are predisposed, pre-framed to like you, to know you, to trust you, because you have done some marketing. You haven't just placed an ad. You've placed an ad that doesn't just say buy now. It says go here, find out more about me. Get my free materials where I can tell my story and other people can tell my story and they can tell why I'm so good and they can regale you with how great it is to be a client of mine. So before people ever get on the phone with me, I know that they have been pre-framed to understand how much ridiculous amounts of money I make for my clients and how much easier their lives are and stress-free because I put systems into place with them and for them. And it isn't up to me on that phone call or from that stage to total strangers with no pre-framing and no accomplishment intro and no, you know, telling the story of what I'm going to say and what I'm doing. I don't wish that on anybody. Calling, cold speaking, cold advertising, you got to warm them up. Okay, that's the pre-frame. You warm them up. All right. Jody is here. Sean Buck is here. Kathy is here. I don't see any other questions, comments, concerns. Please add them in there. Thanks for all the likes. Thanks to everyone being here. We'll end today's Topical Tuesday lesson for today. And I will be back tomorrow with Wisdom Wednesday. So enjoy your evening, night. It's totally dark here at the end of a crazy, busy. I'm dealing with so many crazy deadlines. That's good news. Some big opportunities going on. But all kinds of craziness, but I'm glad I finally got to speak on my daily video, and I hope I got something through to you and you can learn from watching this big battle of the heavyweights, NFL and Trump duking it out for who's going to win the hearts and minds of the viewers of this protest. Are we going to watch next Sunday, not me, but are you, lots of people going to watch, kids disrespecting their own self, their fans, veterans, first responders, the cops that save their lives as they're walking off the field so fans don't, you know, run at them. I mean, they're disrespecting everything and everybody in their whole country. Are we going to watch that, or are we going to watch them peacefully protesting the indignities of the world? Which pre-framing is going to win? My bet, I've given my opinion. We'll see over the long term what happens. And either way, by the way, Colin Kaepernick and the players got their point across, so they win too. They've gotten a lot of awareness. Now, will they follow up and actually do something? Go out and write some checks, make some appearances, do some marches, do some speeches, do some something. I mean, the offseason is going to be coming up. Are they going to actually do something and not just disrespect the flag to get attention and then say they're getting awareness for a problem, like awareness? Okay, great, we're aware. Now what? Now do something. So let's see if that happens too. And hopefully everybody wins, because that's when things work really well. Thanks for being here today on Topical Tuesday, and I'll be back again here tomorrow on Wisdom Wednesday. I will see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.